Good evening. Say it's good to be in the house of the Lord again. Appreciate the thoughts that were shared and the on passion and a and also there the children's class. I think there we had a story too of somebody that was passionate about something, but maybe they had to focus on the wrong thing. And tonight, I'd like to kind of follow along with that theme, I think. So if you want to turn with me to John chapter 20, I'd like to read this account. John 20, the first 18 verses, entitled the message tonight, "So They Ran Both Together." We find that in verse 4. John 20, verse 1. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and they had spoken that he had spoken these things unto her." Beautiful passage. And a passage that's full of passion. A passage that's full of we have people that are distressed. We see them running. We find run several times in the Bible. We'll look at several other passages that talk about bringing it run. Run in the Greek there is strecho. It's to run, just run. Or to try to do, or to spread the message. Some of the different verses we'll look at will have different meanings. You know, how does our risen Lord affect our run, our running, our walk of life? And several things came to my mind as I thought about running. And we have competitive running. And I had to think of Ron Hosler's family night here a while back, and he talked about a little bit of running there, a race to the back fence and back. I had to also think of several years ago, quite a few years ago, I don't know how many, 16 years ago or so maybe. Andy and I flew to Belize together for Chad's wedding. And on our way back in, I believe it was Dallas. I'm not sure. You can probably correct me. You probably have a better memory than I do. But our plane was late in coming in, if I remember right. Whatever the situation was, we were running late. By the time we got through customs and had our luggage checked in, we were sure we were going to miss our flight. You know, we put everything into that run. Anyway, I did. I don't know if Andy did quite or not, but trying to keep up with Andy, we went and we went. And I wasn't so sure but that it wasn't going to be my last run. But we finally made it to the gate. We were jumping on trams and riding a little bit and then running, and we had to get over to another part of the airport. Finally, we made it to our gate, only to discover that our plane wasn't even in yet. I remember looking around for a place to lay down. I just couldn't get my breath. And finding a little corner over there and laying down, put my backpack under my head and just trying to get things slowed down and get my breath. And I felt somebody looking down at me, and I looked up, and there's a lady standing over me and said, "Are you all right?" And I tried to get enough breath to say that, yes, I'm fine, in one sentence without gasping. I'm just trying to catch my breath. And I was hoping I was telling her the truth. I wasn't really sure. But, you know, that was a passionate run. That was a desperate run. And that's running in the physical sense. We have the account in Matthew where the author talks about the women running. In Matthew 28, verse 8, it says, "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Running to bring the disciples word about the Savior, ran with fear and great joy. Running, you know, an image of urgency and eagerness. You know, this morning we heard about the urgency. Christ is coming soon. You know, I had to think recently here. I was talking to Mrs. Russell, Becky Russell, here in Seymour. Her husband, a lot of us had known him, David Russell. It's been about exactly 8 years ago that I remember where we were. We were on our way to a reunion, and we're at a park, and I got a phone call that he had been in a bad accident and was killed instantly. And I don't think I go past that place very often where that happened without thinking about it. And it was right, you know, where he turns off on Buffalo Road. He was almost home. He was going over the last little knoll, so he pulled over into the left lane to make a left turn. And unfortunately, there was somebody that was, they said she was on drugs, and I don't know what all she was, but she was, if I get my directions right here, westbound in the eastbound lane. So, of course, she was on the right side, and he got on the left side to make that left-hand turn just on that last little knoll right there they met, and it was a terrible accident. And I was talking to his wife just this past week, I believe it was, and she said, you know, it's been about 8 years. And she said, you know, he said he got off work just a little bit early, was able to come home early. She said, if only, you know, he had just worked the full shift. But so close home, but he didn't quite make it. And, you know, that's in the physical sense. He was he was a man that wasn't afraid to talk about his Lord. He was passionate about that. And, you know, I was really blessed by her. When I was talking to her, she said, you know, did that woman have a chance? And I thought, you know, what a Christ-like spirit to think about that. You know, when she lost her husband. But, you know, the urgency, the almost there. You know, we don't know what, you know, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the years hold. But We know there's an urgency there. We need a passion to be passionate, running. An image of passion, a whole body desire to come and see. That's what they were doing. Excuse me. You know, they wanted to see what was going on. They wanted to see what Mary told them was true. You know, they couldn't move quickly enough, eager but apprehensive, out of breath as John gets to the tomb. You know, I can only imagine just running across that Jerusalem landscape. Sandals, just going as hard as they could go, gets to the tomb and he stands there. You know, he puts a lot of details in this passage, and I don't know, you know, why he says, puts in some of the details he does, but I think there's a reason for them. Why did he stop? Why did he wait? Was he just out of breath? Did he fear what he was going to find? But he got to that tomb as quickly as possible. No detours, no delays, no pausing to put his life in order first. You know, he knows where he needs to go and he runs. On fire for God. You know, putting all our focus and scattered energies into running. You know, wanting nothing more than God. Nothing less than God. Nothing other than God. We want our lives to be directed toward God. Our hearts to be turned toward God. Our prayers focused on God. Nothing else is enough. You know, that our lips might be touched with those hot coals that Isaiah talks about. In Isaiah 6, 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain covered he covered his face, and with twain covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with his tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And also I heard the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. You know, if we have truly met the risen Savior, if we've been touched by the live coals, if he is Lord of our lives, Lord in every area of our lives, then and then only can we say with the prophet, Here am I, send me. To think of that song, Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands, take my feet, take my lips, take my heart. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee. And that's a condensed version of the song. But take my life and let it be ever only all for thee. And Frances Havergal wrote this song in 1874. She was staying as a guest in a home where there was 10 people. And some of them were not converted, and those that were converted did not seem to be very happy in their faith, she said. And a great longing came over her that all 10 of them might know her Savior as assuredly and joyfully as she had just come to know him before she left. She wanted them to find the joy that she had. And she began to pray diligently for that to happen. Before she left, her prayers were answered. And that night, she was too happy to sleep, and she penned this hymn, Take my life and let it be ever only all for thee. Diligence in prayer. We think of running. We have another scripture that talks about it. Paul compares it to the Christian race. 1 Corinthians 9:24. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So I fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So this is a challenge to us as we reach out to those around us. Where do we find? Do we run? Do we keep ourselves, keep our bodies under, bring it to subjection? He says, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Now, and you know, when they run in the Olympics or something, there's one that receives the prize. But in the Christian race, you know, everyone can receive the prize, and we should be there to help each other. The president of a Special Olympics was given a talk to a large audience. And during the question and answer time that followed, he was asked what was the best moment for him as president of that year's Special Olympics. And without any hesitation, he told about the 100-meter run. He said there were 6 developmentally handicapped children that were lined up in a stadium filled with 50,000 people. And these children have prepared all year for this event. They wanted to win. And although they couldn't run well, they were giving it their best. The gun went off. All 6 took off on the run. And about the 50-meter mark, one of the 6 runners fell down, face first on the track. The other 5 took a couple more steps and then stopped. They looked back, they saw the fallen runner. Then to the surprise of the crowd, they all went back, helped the fallen runner up, joined hands, excuse me, and continued the race, all of them crossing the line at the same moment. Each one received a gold medal. You know, isn't that what Christ calls us to? It's not, the church isn't a place, it's not a place for competition, but it's a place where we look out for each other, pull each other along. Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." So again, a challenge there to by love, serve one another, and to walk in the Spirit. Philippians 2:16. "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me." Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Comparing the Christian life again to a race. Hebrews 12:1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Lay aside every weight, every hindrance. You know, the runner is not going to have anything on him that hinders or that slows him down. You know, if we claim him as Lord, we must give him everything. No secret closets, no hideouts. It's all or nothing. You know, a true soldier gives his all for his country. You know, he's willing to give his life to defend her. How does his country take it if they find out he is spending 10% of his time with those that are against his country? It will not be tolerated. He's considered a traitor. How does God look on those that try to keep one foot in and one foot out? They want to identify with the world also. You cannot. Jesus says, you cannot serve God and mammon. It will not work. We can fool people sometimes, but we'll never fool God. First Peter 4, verse 4, wherefore they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Wherefore they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. The world's going to think you strange for not running with them. Not all running is positive. We can be running for the wrong kingdom, the kingdom of this world. But, if we put everything into this race like the apostles, we may not know for sure what we're going to find. When Peter and John ran to the tomb, they weren't sure what they were going to find, but they were putting everything into it. Like Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress, we'll face rough places in life. We'll face those that try to deceive us and convince us that there's an easier way. We may wonder, why this road? Paul's sweetest epistles are from prison cells. John's Revelation was written in exile. Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress came from the Bedford jail. Luther's translation of the German Bible was in Wartburg Castle. Madame Guyon's sweetest poems and deepest experiences were from long imprisonments. There are many today that are suffering and are being persecuted for identifying with Christ. I had to think of Brother Ken Miller today sitting in a prison cell with 18 men for standing for what was right, for running with all he had. Why? We don't know why. But I have a feeling that those men with him had an entirely different Easter service today than they were expecting. But let's remember to pray for him and his family's protection through this difficult time. We don't know what we're going to face. But are we running? Are we willing to run regardless of what we face? If we're not putting everything into it, if we're not passionate, if we run up against difficulties, we're probably not going to be able to stand. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Beautiful words of encouragement. I'd like to read a little saying here. It's written by, it's called, the title's John the Beloved. It starts out with, I run with Simon Peter to the tomb. Feel as they dream the racing wind go by, the muttered doubts, the chilling blight of gloom, and still there rings within my ears a cry, born of a whisper that the women made. The place is empty where our Lord was laid. Was not his death upon a cross enough? The great gaping crowds that waited on the crest, the sneering, mocking soldiers and their rough and hooting blasphemy. Can he not rest? Can he not sleep? Forget the world of men? What mean these strange and idle tales then? My feet have outrun Simon. Here before the sepulchre I stand on blessed earth, that holds the kingdom and the king, and more. the promises of our Messiah's birth. O heart that labors, if I could but place my head upon his bosom, see his face. Now Simon's shadow darkens all the tomb. He enters weeping. I can share his tears. To find the linens lying in the room, as they were wrapped, will put away my fears. Stooped, burdened shoulders, I must look and prove. Bow down my soul in grief before his love. My eyes run rivers down, they cannot see. My sandals move beyond the arch of stone. But lo, the master is not. Can it be? We stand within the sepulchre alone? Or do I dream? Or am I one gone mad with fancies like the whispering women had? He is not here, and yet the linens line the place he lay as though they hold him fast. He is not here. What a miracle, what sign is this that tells of death and terror past? Look up, my soul, and faith take root and grow. My Lord and Savior lives. I know, I know. Praise the Lord that our Lord and Savior lives. Let's take our Christian hymnals and turn to 119. Someone give me the pitch on that. Oh, we all stand. Let's kneel for prayer.